Good afternoon, and thank you all for coming. My name is Carl Fichtre. I'm from Dort College. As my title says, I'm interested in talking about two Francises who I've pictured here. On the left, you see Francis Schaeffer, who in 1970 wrote a book called Pollution and the Death of Man. And then on the right, you see Pope Francis, who last year published an encyclical entitled Laudato Si. And these are two writings where they articulate their view of environmental issues. And based largely on a blog post, the particulars of which I lost track of, I decided that it would be interesting to put these two writings beside each other and see what kind of common themes come out and what kind of differences come out. And so I want to look at the authors themselves a little bit for context. And their titles, because that's an interesting comparison, and then a few common and different themes in the context of this talk. So, first of all, who are these authors, and what are these books that we're considering in this context here? Okay, so Francis Schaeffer was an American, lived entirely in the 20th century. He was trained as a minister in the Presbyterian Church, or a Presbyterian Church. There are several sub-denominations. In his ministry, early in his ministry, he started to realize and started to observe challenges with what he viewed as an intellectual and cultural disillusionment, particularly in post-World War II Europe. And what that prompted him to do was to move to Europe, sort of as a missionary, and founded something called Labrie Fellowship, where people could come and with their questions about the meaning of existence and who is God and things of that nature. His work with that and his study in philosophical areas led him to publishing three books in the 60s, kind of his core philosophical treatises. And then in the 70s, he starts to publish a few writings where he applies those ideas. And one of those writings is Pollution and the Death of Man. So, and just for context, I'm come from a also from a Calvinist background in the Reformed tradition, which is similar, very similar theologically. On the other hand, we have Pope Francis, who was born and raised in Argentina. In his early 20s, he joins the priesthood, and particularly the Society of Jesus, or the Jesuits, and then works his way up the Jesuit rank, or up the priesthood ranks, until eventually, of course, in 2013, becoming Pope. And along the way, he continues to work in Argentina. And in Argentina, most in the time that Pope Francis was a priest there, on various levels, Argentina has been going through a lot of economic and political corruption and so on. And so a lot of his work was reacting to that, and you see that in some of the words of his titles, and particularly issues with poor and poverty. And so when he's elected Pope, he chooses the name Francis, particularly in reference to Francis of Assisi. Because he was wanting to recognize Francis of Assisi's own concern for the creation and for the poor and outcast. Okay? And that's one of a few hints of the third Francis that I mentioned in the subtitle. Okay? And so building on all that history, in 2015, he writes the encyclical. So with that in mind, let's take a look then a little bit at these two books individually, particularly at their titles, because I find them to be already an interesting comparison to make. So Schaeffer is writing, like I said, in 1970. So at this point in time, the environmental movement is still relatively young, probably depending a little on who you talk to, but still relatively young. And we see a transition, I think, that occurred. Ronald Nash talks about a transition from the concept of conservationism with its anthropocentric terms into an environmentalism where we see some intentional effort to ascribe inherent rights to natural objects. And that comes out in this book as well. He uses the word pollution in the title, and I think one of the interesting things is that while he uses it there, he doesn't actually use it in the text of the book, ever. Some of the things he references use it, but not himself. Rather, he uses words like ecology and ecological problem and environment, which are in some ways a little more modern and thinking ahead a little bit on his part. Then the second part of the subtitle is Death of Man. That is very much a direct reference to his earlier works where this cultural disillusionment that he's looking at, people wondering about, you know, existentialism and nihilism and atheism and things of all those kinds of isms. And in particular, in this book, he talks about pantheism. And I'll come back to that later on. In contrast, right, so we fast forward 45 years and we get to the Pope's encyclical. Laudato Si is another reference to Francis of Assisi. It translates, praise be to you, it's the Latin. It's the opening phrase of Assisi's Canticle of the Creatures. And it's a very intentional point on the part of the Pope to open it with that. And we see a much more positive sounding tone to this, too, in this title. The pollution and the death of man has sort of a dark, ominous tone that the world is going to end. And the Pope here is trying to be a little bit more positive. And then he segues into a subtitle, Care for Our Common Home, where he's trying to point out that we're in this together. And caring for the world is something that all people are responsible for and that all creation or all the world will benefit from. So so with that, then, let's look and start to step into the themes that I noticed as I went through these two books and started putting them side by side. And time is not going to permit us to do everything, so we're going to have to focus on some big pictures. But so what do we see? Well, one of the common themes is the fundamental ideas they're critiquing, or at least part of it. One of, and the big one is technology, or I say techno-pragmatic worldview, given some of the references. Before I get too far, though, just let me say, yes, my structure here is to provide you with lots of quotes. It's not my intent that you try to read them all. There's just too much text up there to do that. I know that's bad form, but It is the way I wanted to go. I tried to highlight a few phrases that you might look at. And then the quotes on the left, typically you'll find Schaeffer's quotes. On the right, you'll typically find the Pope's quotes. So as I proceed, I might go quickly. Again, don't try to read every word up on the screen. But this technological paradigm, and I think the issue is not technology itself. Neither of them are critical of the good things that technology has brought us. What they're criticizing is really a technicism that says things like technology doing everything it can do. Okay? There's no limits to what we let technology produce or develop, and we keep moving faster and faster and change and change. And we have a throwaway culture because of that, and we have built, and this is all built on a notion of greed and haste. Okay? That's the kind of culture they're criticizing, whether it's in 1970 or in 2015. Okay. And so what they say is, both of them very strongly are saying, we need a Christian moral foundation to address this. Okay. So that's and specifically Christian. They both want to say Christianity has something to offer to this, and we'll come back later and emphasize a little bit a distinction that comes out of this as well. But the need for a worldview is very foundational to their thinking. Another big theme that comes out as you read this is the importance of relationships. Both of them build up their models based on this idea of relationship as being a very fundamental part of creation. And in particular, they identify several relationships, and we see these in other contexts too, right? The idea of the relationship between God and man, and the idea that there's a relationship between man and man, and the idea of that there's a relationship between man and nature. And those relationships structure how we should look at creation and how we should look at our place in creation and our relationship to these facets of the created world. So then what I want to get into is a very specific part of the comparison, and that is a Christian theology of creation. Both authors spend a fair amount of time articulating this Christian point view. If you need a Christian moral base, what's it going to look like? What are the features of it? And it turns out that they have many points in common. And I think in some of these will be very familiar if you are at all attuned to what's going on in environmental issues. The first one is that God's creator. Okay? This is one where I think Schaefer does a little bit more and a little bit more extensive and intentional work in setting it up. And Pope Francis sort of assumes more grounding knowledge here or in this point. But both of them do say it very plainly in a couple of different places and multiple places. As a starting point for understanding any sort of notion of creation. And then the second point that they talk about, again, this is one I'm not sure either dwell on as much as I'd like, but the idea that sin is the source of brokenness, okay, right? And that brokenness is essentially a brokenness in all of these relationships that we have in the created order, okay? And that comes out of the fall, out of outright sin, and the so on. Okay, and that then can lead to all sorts of more sophisticated kinds of things. But at the grounding point, it is really just a fundamental notion about sin breaking relationships. Okay. But that doesn't mean that they don't try to offer up positive solutions or positive ideas. One of the things they talk about, both of them spend considerable time on talking about, is the nature of humanity, and particularly the special nature of humanity as part of the creation. And there's a twofold part of that. On the one hand, humans are creatures. We're in the creation. We are essentially equal in a physical sense to all the other animals, and most of the analogies are to animals, but and animal life. We're essentially equal to animals in the sense that we are physical beings, part of the created order. Okay. Yet, we're different, and this is where maybe the word special comes in, different because we're created in the image of God. And no other creature in the created order is created in the image of God. We have that special attribute given to us, granted to us by God, and that puts us in a unique relationship with Him, okay, that other creatures don't have, and it also puts us in a place of leadership over the created order through our mandate to rule and to have dominion over the created order. Okay. However, that's not to say that the creation itself does not have value. And this is one thing both of them want to make a great point of this, because many of that technological worldview and all of its variants and so on really treats creation and created objects at best as having no value, or at worst as having no value, and as best as having only value in its pragmatic usefulness to humanity. And they both put that down on a few different levels. They emphasize the point that 5 minutes. Okay. They emphasize the point that that God created it, and because God created it, we should value it. And they emphasize that because God created it, it's not valuable because we have usefulness for it, even though that's a legitimate place. And that we need to change our view of things if we're going to make things right. Okay, so then finally, how do we sort of start to address the problem? Well, addressing the problem starts by restoring right relationships. Okay, by trying to mitigate through correcting and redefining what those right relationships are. Okay, some key features here are that we want to remember that man is the head of creation. We have a place to use it. We just have to remember to use things rightly. Okay, and so we can use it, but we have to keep that in mind. And oh yeah, and this is actually where the worldview change comes in. Sorry, I got a little ahead of myself a moment ago. But, okay, so that's just an overview. So what do they have that's different? Okay. Couple of things. One is, what are they reacting to beyond this technical worldview? When they dig a little deeper, what are they reacting to? Schaefer is reacting specifically to a couple of papers that have been written. One is Lynn White's Historical Roots of the Ecological Crisis, and that's a key one that if you're familiar with the environmental Christian environmental movement, that's standard reading. And he brings that in and critiques it. And I think important there is that he gets this idea of equality of creatures. And then from there, Schaefer segues to Richard Means' article, Why Worry About Nature, where Means then suggests pantheism as the solution. So Schaefer is reacting to pantheism, is basically the point, or pantheism as a solution to environmental crisis, and pantheism in the sense that all things are equal, not that all things necessarily contain a god, even though he's using the word pantheism. In contrast, Pope Francis is reacting to the culture, right? Remember this corrupt society that he lived through. So on the one hand, he sees an individualistic consumerism that around him. I don't think that requires a lot of elaboration, where we struggle with that here as much as he did. And then Francis does something that Schaefer does not do at all, and that is Francis ties the concern for the environment with the concern for those who are in poverty. And he said poverty and environment are related and intertwined issues. You can't solve one without the other. And he calls that integral ecology. Okay. And then the last difference is, what is the role of Christianity in the big picture? Schaefer argues that Christianity is unique and essentially is the only right solution. And I'm abbreviating a little bit for the sake of time here. Francis, on the other hand, is trying to cast a big tent and says Christianity has a voice and needs to have a voice and has a good solution, but it has to be one among a larger group, a larger population. And in fact, we need one world with a common plan, ultimately, if we're going to address the concern of environmentalism. So there they contrast with each other a little bit. So the gist of my theme is that in many ways they're much more similar than different, even though they're separated in time and place. And in the end, I think because there's more similarities than difference, I would say that Christians should be able to speak to environmental issues with a common voice. So thank you for your attention, and if you have any questions, I'd love to answer them.
We have questions? Carl, what started your interest in pursuing this? Are you able to juxtapose those two?
Schaefer I've been interested in for a number of years. I've read his trilogy a couple of times, so he was a familiar character to me. Really, it was... and then I read the encyclical last summer, and then I just ran across a blog post that said, put these two together. And I'm like, that sounds interesting. And the blog post didn't go anywhere, and I don't even remember where I saw the blog post anymore. But I'm like, that sounds fun. And so that was the prompt. But and I've long been interested in environmental issues as well, personally. So it wasn't far out of my ballpark in that regard. So, yeah.
I offer another blog post for you.
Yeah.
In real time. And it's Herman Daly and John Cobb wrote a book that brings another stream into this,
mm-hmm.
which is economics.
Yes.
And it's called On the Common Good, or For the Common Good.
Okay.
John Cobb's just up the road here.
Okay.
Claremont.
Yeah.
And the Daly went on, after that book was written in the 80s, late 80s, to be quite frustrated as a classical economist with the predominant neoclassicist economists who reject the notion that the economy is a subset of the ecology. And Daly has been, as a very legitimate LSU, the University of Maryland, World Bank economist, saying that you can't get policymakers to even pay attention to that connection that he's trying to make for religious grounds. He's a Protestant. So I urge you to pursue this and bring in the, that's my blog post.
Yeah.
My question is, do you think that as a result of this study that reconciliation becomes as or more important than redemption? Well, let me put it...
Reconciliation between what and redemption? Or what do you... Just
however you interpret it.
Okay.
That... let me rephrase the question this way, that redemption without reconciliation is irrelevant.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. That's actually something that comes out in Schaefer's writings and other contexts too, and also in the neo-Calvinist worldview I come out of has a strong sense of reconciliation. Redemption is what we do now, how we live in the creation now, how we live with each other now, as much as redemption as a second coming, in that sense of the word.
You think there's hopes there?
A little bit. Yeah, there are hints of it in there. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
The ecological community was really excited when the Pope came out with Odyssey, and there was some conversation amongst the community that I'm in about the Pope's unwillingness to talk about population, and that whole idea even that human population could be limited, and I just wondered what your take on that was.
I didn't dwell on that one a lot in my studies on this. I know, despite his sort of persona as a very radical looking Pope, sort of in his interpersonal affairs, he's a very conservative theologically. So, and that's going to be one of those points of contention, right? As you try to build a consensus, how do you get past those kinds of conversations? Because I think that's a very big problem, especially in on both sides, right? Both on the notion of poverty and in the notion of environmental concerns. So,
I remember that when the rainforest was being taken down for the economic pursuits of the people involved, that there was much criticism of that, and yet. You have mentioned the economic, or someone has, of the economic side effects. So, what do these two men, if you've said this already, please forgive me, came in late, and I shouldn't be asking this question at all, because I don't know what you've covered entirely. But do these two men have anything to say about poor folk developing their countries and other people objecting to their use of their own land this way? The rainforest is a substantial supply and a source of new medicines and so on. And
sure.
They really did that to help themselves.
Yeah. You find in both writings, and I think, and this is one of the common themes that I touched on. I didn't dig very deep for the sake of time, but neither question the validity of humanity's use of the resources that are there. So what you've described is reasonable. The question is, how do you go about doing it? so that you are sensitive to the place of the creatures that you're using for your own purposes. How do you do that, and how do you sort out how do you do that in a manner that's still God glorifying in the end? And neither get too detailed into nuts and bolts on that kind of thing. So I think they, in both contexts, would say we'll leave that to the experts to sort of sort out what's the best way to do that. So yeah, there's no sense in either of these that we have to sort of separate ourselves from the environment or treat it as a pristine, untouchable or anything like that.
Can you say a little bit more about what you found on Pope Francis's view on poverty?
He spends a lot more time on it. He's very critical of the wealth gap in the world. He suggests in a couple of different places that we have to address that. So poverty is a systemic issue that needs some systemic solutions. I think I could put it in a nutshell. Schaefer doesn't talk about that at all. He comes back. I think he talks about it in later writings. It comes up in some of his later writings. So, do you have a question as well?
Last question.
My recollection is that the Pope routinely talks a lot about the evils of exploitation of resources. Mm-hmm. And yet, it's by the exploitation of resources only that many of the billions of the world's poor have been raised out of their poverty. I don't think he emphasizes, or maybe it isn't even aware enough of that truth.
So you're saying we have the many things that we benefit from are from the use of the resources that are already there.
I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
It's science and technology and exploitation of resources that have produced wealth for the world.
Yeah, I think the issue has to do with the rapid rate that has happened over the last couple of centuries, and then the degradation of the environment that goes with it. That's where the criticisms come from. It's not the use of them per se that's inherently bad. It's the way in which they've been exploited.
What I'm pushing for is a comment. Mm-hmm. Do you think the Pope has struck a proper balance on that? In my opinion, he overemphasizes the exploitation without emphasizing the benefits.
He certainly talks more about the problems of poverty, the problems of the exploitation, than about the positives. I would agree with that on that level. So,
all right.
Thank you.